Good morning. It's my joy to welcome you to Weston United Methodist Church. We're so glad you've joined us for worship. I especially want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. Hope you'll have a chance to meet someone sitting around you. If you'd like to learn more about West End and how we're living out God's mission, please share with us your mailing address or email address so we can be in touch with you. You can share the information on the information pad that you can pass down the pew. We hope all of you will share your presence with us and pass it down and pass it back and see with whom you're sitting this morning. Also, just a few announcements. You'll find many announcements in your insert in your bulletin, but I do want to lift up just a couple this morning. First, you will see a special insert that talks about Project Transformation and the many ways that we can volunteer this summer. It includes the dates that we'll be reading in July, and also the items we need for our needs tree. This morning, we kick off our summer Sunday morning series, We Are the Church. Each Sunday morning in June and July at 9:45, you're invited to come to McWhorter Hall, which is the room right below us, to hear from a variety of United Methodist speakers who will help us consider what kind of church God might be calling us to be here in the heart of Nashville in the 21st century. All are welcome to attend each week. This week's speaker is Jorge Riker. Sorry if I mispronounced that. He'll be talking about United Methodist and social issues. And once again, you're all invited to come each week. As we journey through the summer together in worship, we'll be talking about the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. We hope that you will read along with us as you prepare to come to worship each week. Now, as we continue worship together, let us be open to how God may be speaking to us today.
O Lord, open our eyes. O Lord, open our ears. O Lord, open our hearts. O Lord, open our lips that we might declare your praise. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who repent of their sin and wish to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, Here I am. Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One Sunday night, many years ago, I was at my computer working on a paper. My daughter, Caitlin, who was about 5 at the time, came into the room. It was way past her bedtime, and so annoyed, I said, Caitlin, what are you doing out of bed? She walked over to me and she asked, Mom, who was Virginia? You know, the one I'm named after. And I quickly said, well, Virginia was your Poppy's, your grandfather's sister who died when she was 2. That's why your middle name is Virginia and why my middle name is Virginia. She thought for a moment. She said, well, I said, speak, your servant is listening. And Virginia, the one who died, talked to me. I said, what? She said, yes. She said she was happy and doing well. And then Caitlin just wandered on back to bed. The next day, I found out that in Sunday school that morning, they had heard the story of Samuel and Eli, the story that you just heard read. Now, there were several times when Caitlin was around that age, age 5, that she would say she had talked to Virginia, the one in heaven. But now that she's a young adult, she doesn't really remember that except for us telling her those stories. You know, although I'll never forget that time she wandered in or the time we were in carpool line and her sister was homesick. And we said, let's say a prayer for Kristen. And she went. And then she looked over and said, Mom, does God talk to you like God talks to me? And I just had to say, well, not really. And this morning, some 20 years later, my answer would still be the same. No, not really. And I can only speak for myself, but I have a feeling that many of you may respond in the same way. Why is that? Does God speak to us, but we don't hear? Do we even listen for God's voice? Does God still speak to people today? We may sometimes feel a sense of God's presence, but hearing God's voice, not so sure that still happens. Maybe it's the same in Samuel's time. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widely known. Many of us might argue that the rarity of visions in the time of Samuel applies to our own time. But I wonder, was the Lord really quiet then? And is the Lord really quiet today? Or was no one listening? Some of us may not be able to hear God's voice because we don't want to. We're afraid of what God might say to us if we said, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We don't want to be asked to do something difficult, uncomfortable like Samuel. Imagine being mentored since you're a young boy by someone, and now you must speak condemning words to Eli about his leadership and his children. Samuel's first message was no small task. Really, God? Could you have begun with something less threatening, something easier? Couldn't you have made that first call to action something pleasant? After he hears God's voice, Samuel's life is never the same. It's harder, much harder. Do we want that? If we don't ask God to speak to us, then we don't have to respond. I think it also can be difficult to listen for God's voice. You know, I work in a church every day, but I confess that I'm very busy, and I often don't think to take time to stop and ask God to guide me through my day. We're also busy with so many voices competing for our attention. And will we even recognize God's voice, or will we think it was from someone else? I wonder how often we miss hearing God's voice, or how often we attribute it to a human instead. How can we learn to discern God's voice? First, we need to be still, and we need to listen. Barbara Bound Taylor says in When God is Silent, prayer should be less, Lord, hear our prayers, and more, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What would we hear if we listened to God? If our hearts were open enough to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. How do we learn to listen? I think Samuel's story gives us some insight. The story of Samuel does not start with the voice of the Lord or with Eli's training, but rather with his mother, Hannah. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah. Hannah had no children, but his other wife did have children. And if you know anything about those days, being barren was a very sad state for a woman to be in. During an annual pilgrimage to Shiloh, Hannah prayed, promising God that if God gave her a son, that she would give him back to God. She then bore a son that she named Samuel. After she weaned him, she took him to Eli, the priest at Shiloh, and she got the fulfillment of her promise. It was Samuel's mother, Hannah, who cooed over him, who prayed for him, who sang over him, and who weaned him so he would be free to learn to be in ministry and to serve God. What are the relationships? Who are the people that have brought you to be sitting here at Western United Methodist Church worshiping this day? I had parents who took me to church, I think, every time the doors were open. My mother was at a church supper in Fellowship Hall when her water broke. Maybe it's inevitable that I ended up serving in a church. My grandmother prayed, or told me that she prayed for me every single day. Who are the people that have shepherded you in the faith, who have prayed for you, who have nurtured you? Who have been the Hannahs in your life? And then there's Eli. He's old and can no longer see, but he is still in service. Eli mentors Samuel into hearing God's voice. Eli's role in Samuel's calling, I think, reminds us that we learn to discern God's voice and call. We're in proximity to people who have come before us. They help us attune our ears and our hearts to hear God. Before I came to West End to serve, I took a year-long sabbatical to explore social issues in the Nashville area. I had a detailed outline of everything I planned to do, but thanks to the advice of a wonderful person, I realized that I needed some companions to journey with me so I didn't neglect my spiritual life and my devotion, and to help me see how God was guiding me through the sabbatical. I met monthly with four people for prayer and spiritual reflection. When I look back, I'm somewhat in awe of the four people that agreed to journey with me for this year. Some of these names you may recognize: Sister Kathleen Flood, Bishop Sharon Brown Christopher, Reverend Barbara Garcia, and I think most of you knew Reverend Michael Williams. They were prayerful, insightful, and wonderful spiritual companions. I've been fortunate to have many Elis in my life that have guided me and helped me in my spiritual journey. Sunday school teachers, youth counselors, mentors, spiritual friends. Who are your Elis? I often hear people say that they can worship God just as well, alone, maybe better when they're in nature. And that can be true, but we are called to be disciples. And I think we need community to be our companions in our faith journey. Yes, you can worship God alone, but we need others to help us discern God's voice in our lives. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Many of you know that my husband Eddie and I have decided to move to Atlanta at the end of the summer to be closer to our grandchildren. It was a difficult decision to leave such a great job in a church that I really love. I don't have anything lined up in Atlanta, and I really don't know where I'll end up, but I sense God has a plan. I've started packing a little, and I came across a card that Bishop Christopher gave me the last time I met with my spiritual companions at the end of my sabbatical. The front of the card says, "The sign of God is that we will be led where we had not planned to go." Bishop Christopher received this card when she first accepted a position as a district superintendent, a position she was a little bit apprehensive about. When she gave me the card, she said that there was a note inside that was written to her, and it was written by Jean Audrey. Now, I had never heard of Jean Audrey, but I could tell that the others in my group knew exactly who she was. So for some reason, this week, 6 years later, I decided to Google her. Here is what I found out. Jean Audrey was a leader who pushed the church to be more inclusive. She was one of the first women granted full clergy rights in the Methodist Church, and the first to be nominated as a bishop, a position she turned down twice. Jean Audrey is also known for her work with the Reconciling Ministries movement. Coming out during a sermon she gave at their national gathering in 1995, she once again paved the way for others in the church. Now, she is no longer with us. Bishop Christopher is retired and living in Nashville. But wow, what a card to hold in your hand to live up to. I thought back about when I first received this card and realized that shortly after, I ended up starting a Bible study, which then led to starting a United Methodist worship service in the Tennessee Prison for Women. I'm not quite as involved as I was, but I'm still participating. But that service, the Circle of Grace, worship in the United Methodist tradition and the Bible study continue today. I don't know what's coming next. Will I once again be led where I had not planned to go? I'm a little apprehensive, but I'm trying to listen and to pray. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. As you come this morning and kneel to receive communion, take a moment to thank God for those who've brought you to the faith, your Hannahs, and your Elis who guide you and help you listen for God's voice. If you don't have someone who's journeying with you, maybe you'll pray that God will put someone in your life. And if you're ready for the possibility that God may lead you where you had not planned to go, maybe you're ready to pray, "Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening." Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Now, be still and listen. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you, and indicate if you'd like that to be shared or to remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we celebrate the birth of a granddaughter of Jeff Ackerman. Elizabeth Wren Ackerman was born on April 30th in Richmond, Virginia, to John and Kate Ackerman, and is also welcomed by her big brother, Foster. This morning, we also extend our sympathy to the family and friends of West End member Jane Stone, who passed away yesterday, June the 2nd. Service arrangements are still pending at this time. Let us now turn to our holy and loving God as we offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you still speak to us. We give you thanks that you still call us to serve you in ways both large and small. And we give you thanks that when you send us, you also equip us for the work before us. Holy One, this morning we pray that you would whisper your word of comfort and grace to those who are suffering. Declare your word of love to those who feel unloved and unlovable. Speak your word of wisdom to those who are in need of clarity and guidance. And proclaim your word of hope to those who are lost in the depths of despair. May all who are in need have ears to hear. And we pray for our own hearing, O God, that we would listen intently for your still, small voice, that we might hear your call and follow where you lead. Give us the words to speak, that we might share your good news with the world. And when it is better to remain silent, may the posture of our hearts and lives bear witness to your love and grace in the world. We ask all of this in the name of the Word made flesh, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, as grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us return those gifts to God with joy and thanksgiving.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When you turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for the day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now let us join our voices to pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table, we reiterate the invitation that it comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all who are here today are welcome at this table. You do not have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be anything at all. You are welcome to come to this place and receive this sacrament. If this is your first time to receive in this congregation, we have just a few words to help you. Our ushers will guide you to come forward. Our choir will be served first, then our friends in the balcony, then those who are in the transepts, and finally those of us in the center. If you're sitting on this side today, we have a piano right there. We had a concert here yesterday, and so we were not able to move the piano until later this week, but there should be room on this side of the column for you to get back to your seats. We will have a gluten-free station available if you just let the server standing in front of the lectern know. Emily, if you wave at Emily, they will be able to serve you gluten-free bread. If you're not able to make your way forward, Lisa and I will be going around the sanctuary and can serve you in your pew, so let us know or let one of the ushers know that you need that. Always, we have a tradition of making an offering for one of our missions in the congregation, and June's communion offering will go to help supplement our minister's discretionary fund. This is a fund we use to help those who call or come by the church in need of assistance for rent, food, bus passes, and so forth. Since the 1st of January, we've received over 120 requests and have distributed $4,700. So this money that you give goes directly to those in need in our city. The table is set. May our hearts be open to receive the grace that is offered here.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
I'm going to invite those who are participating in our youth mission trip to please come forward. This morning we are commissioning the youth and adults that are participating in the youth mission trip. After the service is over, they will be loading the van and heading to Eastern Kentucky to serve with Adventure Serve. They will build a wheelchair ramp for a family that has a 19-year-old that will be having a second brain surgery. They'll be staying in tents at a state park and making all their own food all week. Please keep them in your prayers, and you'll find their names listed in the bulletin.
For the mission part, not for the cooking part. But we will be praying for you for all of these things, and we know that you will have a wonderful time and a wonderful experience of faith together as a community. We invite you to kneel at the altar rails. And we will pray for you now as a congregation. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, just as you called Samuel by name to be your prophet and to serve in your name, you have called each one of these young people by name to go in your name to love and serve and to be your hands and feet in a community that is in great need. We know that they will meet you in each other. They will meet you in those with whom they serve. We pray that their faith will be deepened, their love and trust of you will grow, and that those whom they serve with and whom they meet will encounter in them love and grace. Keep them safe, hold them together, and bring them home with wonderful stories to tell of how they have experienced your love. In Christ's name we send them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And stand.
Thank you.
my friends, go into the world listening for the voice of God. Go into the world ready to follow Jesus. Go into the world sustained by the love and power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.